a lot today about our 10-day mission trip. Traveling through Germany first, we saw a mighty outpour of God's Spirit. We saw Germans queue at the front of the altar to receive Jesus in the tent. Every night. We were there for 3 nights and 1 morning, but they've been going on for 10 nights. We only joined the last bit. And it's been quite an amazing experience to see how God is working in Europe. We believe in Europe. We have a heart for Europe. And I say that as we, the expression of every nation, sons, west, God really rested our hearts and said, there's a call to Europe. And we boldly saying yes. So, amen to that word, John. We'll be back. Before I share the word, I wanted to thank you guys, every nation, Belfast team, for allowing us to be here. Thank you for inviting us, thank you for saying the door is open. Thank you for the incredible hospitality this week. Thank you for showing us the Dyke Causeway and Yakery and St. Patrick's Museum, and just an amazing week. I mean, we leave completely fallen in love with this place. I honestly have to say this, and I don't say this anyway, but even not those who do go and mission with me quite regularly, but this has to be my favorite week in mission. Amazing. I do believe that there's a connectivity of our church with yours in the future. During worship this morning, God showed me in the Spirit, just from this side all the way to that side, people standing in all these pews around. And I believe there's a quickening and a celebration. There's going to be a multiplication of this house for the next 2 years. Within 2 years' time, you're going to see this venue being filled with people. And as God sends more people, these little blocks are the representative people. But as people reach out to one another, they're going to start getting connected. This venue is fantastic. It is significant and perfect that you guys are here. Stay here until you see all the way through 300 to 400 people filling this room. And I pray this morning, Father, for this house. We pray your favor to your sending hands to help for the increase in the harvest that's going to come. Lord, thank you that your word says, first pray therefore for the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the fields. You are sending and you have sent workers. Lord, and now these workers are saying they are ready to catch this harvest. And we pray, Lord, that we return in the years to come, that we'll see just a doubling of numbers, a tripling of numbers, Father. Lord, and in 2 years' time, Father, that this room would be full with people on a Sunday morning as they gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We trust you for that in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. I wanted to show you a little picture of our giant sports way back home. That's our mountain. In some ways, not bad, right? We were completely undone by the beauty we saw this week, but that's our backyard. Not like literally our backyard, like my house is there, that's what I see every day. But sorry, lady, I won't walk too much. I miss home, so I'm just veering to this side. But that's out in the west, it's called the Halderbach, which literally translates means the clear mountain. On most days, you see the mountain, even when it's really raining. It's like it's a little town in the middle of God just said, boom. I'm going to put a mountain there. You see it everywhere around town, and we have an incredible community there. But this morning, I want to share a word that God put in my heart for Europe, I believe. Last week in Germany, I walked into the tent on the first night, and he said, I want you to preach, when I preach in Germany, only once, on the Saturday night in the tent, about the story of the lame beggar at Beautiful Gate. And when we were driving around Ireland earlier this week, it felt like the Lord said, there's a part two in that message that I have for Ireland. So this morning I'm going to speak about being filled with wonder. We sang it this morning. Like that we would be filled with wonder. And I truly believe the church of God, the people of God, could live in a position of wonder all the time. We will see incredible increase and change and impact in the nations, in our cities, in people's lives. Amen. I feel like God is stirring up His people, His church, to return back to a place where when we close our eyes and when we walk the streets, when we think about Jesus and what He's done, we are completely undone by Him. And there's just a sense of wondering. So much so, the world today is systematized and organized and planned and strategic, but Jesus just walked and 12 men were undone with His beauty, and then 70 and more, all they left is they just kept on walking with the wonder of what Jesus has brought. And this morning we're going to read the story out of Acts chapter 3. If you want to follow, it will be up on the screen. I'm going to read from the ESV.
beggar being healed.
And it goes like this. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognizing him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Lord Jesus, we pray as we study your word that you've been anointed by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would use this message this morning to impact all of us, including myself. And I've added myself to be used by you in the way that you desire to. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Filled with wonder. This thing I want to bring to your attention as we're going to go through this story is that it was the hour of prayer. There was religious exercise and practices happening every single day in the temple. The people of Jerusalem knew at certain times of the day they had to go and pray. And Peter and John did this because of their customs, the way how they'd grown up as Jewish men out of the culture. It was part of what they did. So they were accustomed to going to the temple at the hour of prayer to offer their prayers. Now what was different to them is that they had also met Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, the healer, the redeemer, the one who brings us victory, who sets us free. So their prayers, I can imagine, sounded a little bit differently. But this story starts off by showing that it was an important moment religiously in the temple when people were coming in to pray the hour of prayer. It said that these people picked up the lame man during that hour, maybe earlier during the day, they put him at the beautiful gate. Religiously, just like they would go and pray and offer their religious duties, they had compassion on this man and moved him and put him at the beautiful gate. And even in their religious compassion, they carried the beggar, but he still needed Jesus. See, even in our compassion, we can become religious. We can do things like picking up a lame man and putting him outside the temple, not inside. I don't know if he's ever been, the story doesn't tell us, but I can imagine in their customs and culture, he might be considered a sinner. The fact that he was born a beggar and that he was born lame. There's a moment when people ask Jesus, "Jesus, was this person born like this because of the sins of the father?" So they didn't carry him inside and say, "Hey brother, why don't you come and join the prayer with us?" They just put him outside and they let him there so he could ask for gifts of compassion. And I was just around the city this week and I thought, isn't that so much an analogy of where we find ourselves in Belfast? That there's religious happenings taking around all along. But there are so many just sitting outside the brink, waiting for someone to walk by and introduce them to Jesus. Not another moment to do religious exercises. Not another moment to just receive the little coin that slipped their way. Well, we look the other way because we have to go pray now, brothers. We don't have time to embrace the man on the side. The second thing is, what I would mention to you out of the story, is what is most beautiful? I was thinking about Ireland and Belfast, and I was making my list. And it's amazing what you guys have to offer. I mean, C.S. Lewis came from here, Titanic, Amazing Grace, St. Patrick, YouTube, Bluegrass, American Presidents, that's pretty amazing. Our list is a little bit smaller. We've got Nelson Mandela, Table Mountain, and Wholehearted, the worst.
But even amidst all the beauty of Ireland and the beauty of Belfast, there's something that's most beautiful. And we see this with the landlady, that the beggar was surrounded by beauty. He sat at the beautiful gate. Why was it called the beautiful gate? Anyone want to take a chance at theology? Because it was beautiful. It's as simple as that. It was a beautiful entrance to the temple. He was sitting, and even though he was surrounded by beauty, he had yet to still discover what is most beautiful, and that is Jesus. I was undone this week by the beauty of the city. I know Wolfie from London says, London, the greatest city in the world. I beg to differ. I'll send him a WhatsApp and tell him that. But I think Belfast, honestly, nothing. But we've got people surrounded by the beauty of Ireland, surrounded back home by the beauty of our sons and west mountain in our backyard. But they still have to discover which is the most beautiful, and that is Jesus. Day in and day out, this guy was sitting in the most beautiful place he could possibly sit. But he had yet to discover Jesus. When the church is awed by Jesus again, we will fill the city with wonder. When we walk around as carriers of Christ and the glory of God, and when we open our mouths, we just speak Jesus, and everything is Christ, and we also focus upon Him. We're going to see our cities and this city filled with wonder. I learned yesterday, St. Patrick prayed sometimes 100 times a day. I believe it's because he was completely awed by Jesus Christ. Colossians says it like this, speaking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. You're going to find yourself walking through the streets of this city, finding those just begging for a little compassion. In the midst of this beauty, surrounded by the splendor, and you're going to say, I've got something more wonderful and beautiful to give you. It's Jesus. The third thing I want to say, and this is important, is they were seeing eye to eye. What I love about the intentionality of Peter and John here is they saw the beggar lying there and said, look at us. I can imagine this guy could be just undone, just sitting there day in and day out, gathering the dust of all the religious feet walking past him, kicking up dust as he goes, and they're going to the temple to pray. Not taking time to maybe kneel down, just acknowledge him for a moment. And what I love about their heart is it's been captivated by Jesus. Said, hey, look me in the eye. I want to look at you eye to eye. It said Peter directed his gaze, a strong word in English, I don't know what it means, but he directed his gaze. He focused on this man for a minute. And then he said, hey, look up. That word, look at us, crosses the barriers of brokenness and is an invitation into identity. They acknowledged him maybe for the first time in his life as a normal human being with a great need of a savior. They just said, hey, you there, look up. And they looked him in the eyes and they didn't care about the brokenness and the fault and the things around, the story around this man. They just said, yes, there's an amazing person in there. Could we do that as a church? We walk past the brokenness and just stop everything. I don't care if they start praying and singing the songs and the worship team is my song number 3. I'm going to take a moment to acknowledge someone who's in brokenness. Turn my gaze and direct it at him or her. Say, look up. Look into my eyes. My eyes are filled with wonder because I behold Jesus. I've got something to give to you today. We, as sons and daughters of Christ, when people look in our eyes, they really do see something. The other day we were in a restaurant and we were having a conversation, myself and Leanne, Carol McKeezer, who leads Every Nation Campus back in South Africa. It's quite a deep conversation. We're passionate about kingdom Samson as a nation. And when she came up as an elderly person, we were a little bit undone because we thought this might just be, you guys are too loud, sit down. So she came up and she said, you know, if you guys are either a group of intellectuals, or you are a group of intellectuals that loves Jesus. I'm pretty great. I'm an intellectual and I love Jesus. That's pretty cool. So we said, yeah, we're the latter. Then they're about the intellectual part, but we do love Jesus. And she says, I can see Jesus in your eyes. And I can hear him in your conversations. That's what Belfast is waiting for. People who say, hey, look at me, look me in the eyes. I love you with an unconditional love. I'm going to direct my gaze to you for a minute, for five, for an hour, for two. And just sit and talk to you about this Jesus. The fourth thing, give what you have. Here, you might say, I don't have much. Well, we as Africans definitely didn't come here to give you gold and silver. The exchange rate makes sure of that. 20 rand for a pound at the moment. It's a lot of money. But neither did Peter and John. But I want you to remind you of what you do have in Christ. And they were so convinced of it and convicted of it that they didn't even like, maybe I should just buy a piece of bread first and give some, maybe some money and then you might open. They just said, you know what we do have, we will give, and that's Jesus. Can we as a church start living like that? When the world is crying out, reaching out, saying, well, I'll give you what I have, and that is Christ Jesus. It says this in Ephesians 1, talking about us, about you, each one of you. Praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. When you follow Jesus, when you're a son of the Most High God, a daughter of Christ, when you're filled with that wonder, goodness, you've got so much to give. We saw it this week, just conversations on the street. People are desperate, dire brokenness and darkness. And all we had to offer was Jesus and a few songs. And they responded. They said, yes, this is beautiful. A guy walking past us saying he's the devil. But you know what? The devil stood far up and he wanted us to see this, he wanted to hear the music. He was actually staying a little bit further down and said, just ask that girl to sing again. Because he felt the sense of wonder of God, even though he claims to be the devil. You see, we've got so much to give as a church. We often wait for the right moment, the right resources, the right stuff. Yeah, everything is in place now. Now we can go. No, just let's go. Amen. Let's walk the city. Let's walk through these beautiful gates of Belfast and know that in Christ Jesus, every spiritual blessing that we can access in our heavenly realms is available to all of us. We're going to go and give it out. We might not have silver and gold, but goodness, we've got Jesus, which is most beautiful. That was great about the story. The man made a thought that he knew what he needed. But Jesus had so much more in store for him. So many people ask, I think I know what I need. I need to find a better church, or I need to maybe sort out my life with God again, or I need to maybe investigate religion. Jesus knows what every single person needs. I love the prophetic words that came up this morning to us, to encourage us. And as we, like Peter and John, walk the streets of the city, God will give us the spiritual blessings that he wants us to share with us. The third thing I want to share with you this morning is reach out to raise up. Peter didn't stand afar off and say, hey, you lay there, look at me. I'm looking at him, now rise up. He went and he touched him. He pulled him by the arm and said, come on, get up. He was completely, he was completely involved in that moment. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, he just gave himself to this man, looked him in the eyes, and I can imagine the exchange they had. The love of Father being shed abroad through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When you look at this and attach to you and say, come on, I'm going to help you get up for the first time in your life. That's what God has called the church to do. Yeah. To come around those sitting waiting and say, I'm going to help you get up. Can we reach out to raise up others? Can we extend ourselves beyond our comforts and touch them and pull them up to the place that God has for them? I remember when I was 4 years old, I remember it like yesterday. It wasn't yesterday, but it feels like it. We We went to the KwaZulu-Natal coast in South Africa, a place called Mshwandra, the Zulu word. And a four-year-old boy, and you know what it's like with a four-year-old boy, you can tell him, do this, and you look enough, and you go the opposite direction. So my dad put me down in the street. It's one of those places with incredible currents, massive waves. He says, don't go near the ocean. So what does a four-year-old boy do? He goes near the ocean. So here I go, little four-year-old, and I think that the water is where it starts on the edge. And naturally, the beauty of the ocean and my inquisitive spirit, I want to go closer and closer and closer. And the next moment, a massive wave came, and then big, they're 3-4 meter waves. So quite big for a four-year-old boy. One wave hit me, and that was it. My dad didn't see, I remember clearly seeing him looking the other way when this wave came across me. And then I remember just feeling that sense of overwhelmed by the ocean and you're spinning. And I remember it opened up again and I saw my dad at that moment looking at my way, and I could feel the ocean pulling me in, the current, the tides pulling strong. And as a 4 year old, I remember the sense of, I'm going to die today. This is it. The fear that gripped me at the moment. And I just closed my eyes and said, this is it. And I felt another wave coming, pulling in further and further away from my father. And the next thing I remembered is I felt just how I had reached through the wave and pulled me out and held me tight and walked me out and put me down and just took a towel and just wiped me off. And he said, I love you. I'm so glad that you're okay. And that's how it is with God, when he wants to reach those who are sitting around the city waiting for us to come and raise them up. Amen. To reach out and pull them up. They might be there because of their sin, their disobedience. They walked close to the ocean. They played what they should have. And they have a sense of being overcome. And darkness and death is lurking. But there's a Father in heaven who through his church wants to go and reach out and pull those people out of those circumstances. Can we be that church that does it to those people waiting? It says this in the Bible. Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, nor his ear to dull that it cannot hear. Sometimes we as a church stop reaching because we lost the revelation of God's mighty arm. We see someone who just looks so far gone. And just, I'm not even going to try. I'm intimidated by whatever. We look at these people, just so far gone. I don't know. I'm a little Christian boy who's done it all right my whole life. I'm not thinking about myself. I grew up normal, didn't do crazy stuff. I was just sinking in the ocean. But sometimes I'm intimidated when I see people that have had a hard life and a rough way. What do I say? I'm okay. I'm normal. I don't have stories of tattoos and crazy stuff I've done. But there's a Father in heaven who wants to use my arms as he is sitting through me to reach out and raise up. The sixth thing, I'm almost done. This is fantastic. He was welcomed home. Maybe for the first time, this beggar was taken inside the tent. Think about that. We often start a conversation with a stranger like, you go to church. I don't. I sit outside and I hear the people praying. I hear the songs. But no one has actually come and reached out and touched me and said, come on. We want to take you inside. And he stood up with his own feet being strengthened. He leaped for joy and he was dancing and shouting and singing. And for the first time, he felt home inside the place, the house of God, with the people of God. It's so important to know that the reach is to bring people to the place where they belong. We had a conversation this week with a guy who ran a ministry team on Jeremy, who said, he just doesn't feel like he belongs anymore. And he listened to the music and something drew him, and they ministered to him. And I'm like, that's beautiful. God wants to bring people back home. He's heard the singing, he's seen the prayers. But because of Jesus and Peter and John, they brought him in. And they made him part of the house of God. Matthew 10. Jesus
Jesus says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the reason I put that scripture in there is I really believe you guys as a house have got a responsibility to go to the lost sheep of the people of Ireland. Those who were once part of religion, those who were once part of Christendom, but they have to be the most beautiful name, Jesus. They've got to move beyond the hour of prayer to an encounter with Christ Jesus. So the admonishment for us today is, go therefore to the lost sheep. Find those who have been swallowed by the waves of this world and pull them out and commit them back to a welcome place that they can call home. And then if the team can come join me on stage, this is my favorite part. As there was a praise uprising, I love this. What happened is, and I don't know, I wish I could be there. I imagine that the prayer at this night hour of prayer was probably maybe very, just maybe a rabbi in it, or a leader, and it was very quiet maybe. So I don't know, but can you imagine, people are praying, and they're doing their, this is what we go pray, and someone needs it, and they pray, and in the distance of the temple, they hear a bit of a noise. Like, what's that? You're halfway through the prayer. Your dad's coming in, disturbed. And running in was a man shouting, leaping, praising God. And he brought a praise uprising to that prayer meeting. So much so that the Bible says in verse 10 that everyone knew about it, heard about what happened to the man. The whole town was filled with wonder when they heard this news of the man who's upset the prayer meeting because he's having a encounter with Jesus. What would it look like to us today in the city, in some place, in the nations of the world, that we meet people that for generations has been seen as just a lay there? I don't only see about physically, spiritually. Just hate that living God is trying to share the gospel with. I just don't know if that's even possible. If we can reach out and bring them up, they'll go leaping and praising, they'll upset our religious prayer meetings because they're happening out of Jesus. See, this is the call of God for his church today, to live in that wonder again. We don't just stick to a program meeting and this is the library notes, all those things. I need a church, it's important to me. And those things I put in place as well. But can we as the children of God be filled with the wonder that Peter and John had? And say, hey, we'll give you Jesus. That's the invitation to all of us as well. So this morning you might identify with some of these characters in the story. You might identify with those people who systematically and regularly do their religious practices. Who see the need, those desperate, poor in spirit, those who are beggars and lame when it comes to their relationship with God. But there was more important things to go do. Secondly, you might be the lame beggar. You have come here this morning and said, Christ, give me something. Jesus wants to come down and raise you up. He wants to reach down and say, I see you in those waves. You've come in rolling, it's been hard for you. But let me come and catch you with my arm because it's not too short for you. And then the third character in the story, characters of Peter and John, and I believe that's the call of God for all of us. I can imagine this lame beggar walking with them for a season, maybe, leaping and praising God and sharing his story. He became like Peter and John, someone who said, I need Jesus, and what I have, I will give in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me resource. I'm sure some of those religious folks who walked past him were challenged to the core
when they saw what happened here. If that was the other God, he said, how could I have missed it? So many years he's walking across this man. And two guys reach out. Do you know what it is and who is the most important character in the story? It's Christ Jesus. And regardless of where you are in this moment, you might be a bigger John already. And I see that on your leadership. I commend you guys for being Peter and John who goes out and do what you have. You might be like a leadership just walking past. You might be like a beggar. Say, God, I just cry out today. I believe Jesus wants to come and advance all of us. So if you are in a position of heart for Jesus to come to us now, stand up with me. Crying out to you for a touch. People have not seen them, but this morning, Jesus, you are stopping. You say, I see you. Look at me. I've turned my gaze upon you and I acknowledge you. I don't see your brokenness and where you've been. I see the potential and the hope and the identity and the future I have for you. And if that's you this morning, just imagine how Jesus is coming. You see his arm, the mighty arm of God, it's nothing short that it can say, reaching out in your spirit and putting you right up in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for those who have come to you this morning. They've been amidst so much beauty, but this morning they're going to be the most beautiful. I want us to sing this song. Just as we stand in awe of you, and allow Christ to come and meet you for a moment.